May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. A film was released in January 2004 based on a best-selling New York Times novel. Before watching the film, Cynthia had to read the book. So the paperback lay beside our bed or on our kitchen counter for a couple of weeks. The picture on the cover caught my eye whenever I passed by it. It was truly captivating. I later learned that the picture was the reason for the novel. The picture is a reprint of an old master. A girl, possibly in her early 20s, is looking back over her shoulder. She's a brunette, but she's wearing a blue headscarf and an exotic headdress. The painting was completed in 1655 by Johannes Vermeer. You will all know it. It is Girl with a Pearl Earring. The author of the novel, Tracy Chevalier, had bought a poster of the painting when she was 19. And she had had it hanging in her room for 16 years. Chevalier said that the ambiguous look on the girl's face had made a lasting impression on her. And I can see why. She described the girl's expression to be a mass of contradictions. Innocent, yet experienced, joyous, yet tearful, full of longing, yet full of loss. And she began to think that the girl had directed all those emotions at the painter. And so her novel was her fictional account of the story behind that look. Many of Vermeer's paintings were set in the same two rooms in his house in Delft. The models for most of his figures were family members or servants. A number of art historians believe that the model he used for Girl with a Pearl Earring was the same girl that he had used a year earlier in his first major work, which was depicting of our gospel today. The girl with the pearl earring might well be Mary in his painting, Christ in the Home of Martha and Mary. In that painting, Mary is seated on a low stool. Her face is in profile, so you don't see the look in her eyes, but I can imagine that it would have been a look with the very same complexities. She has her right elbow on her knee, and she's cupping her chin pensively in her right hand. She's looking up at a seated Jesus who's actually talking to Martha, though he is pointing down to Mary. Martha is standing next to Jesus and is offering him a freshly baked loaf. And Jesus has both the sisters' full attention. It's very clear that this is the moment when he says, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Think what a powerful spiritual moment that must have been for both these sisters. It's that powerful spiritual moment that Vermeer captures in his painting. Martha is receiving correction. She's being told that her priorities are not in the right place. She needs to make a change. She needs to reset how she thinks about things. Mary is receiving affirmation. She's being told that she is doing just what she ought to do. The affirmation is not simply a congratulation for her present actions, it's also an encouragement to do the same when she faces similar choices in the future. For both sisters, Jesus' goal is that they should grow. And Jesus' goal for us is just the same. Sometimes our growth will require that we be corrected. We need to be set in a different direction. And sometimes our growth will require that we be encouraged. More of the same, please. I don't often wish for a screen and projector in church. And don't worry, I know that even if I wished, I would not receive. But I do wish that I could show you Vermeer's painting. I think he has it just right. Especially, I think he has this spiritual moment of correction for one and affirmation for the other just right. If you want to see it yourself, find the picture on the internet. If you do, first look at Vermeer's Martha. She's offering Jesus a loaf, and Jesus is telling her, "I don't need that right now." But clearly, Martha is taking no offense. If you remember, Martha had just said to Jesus, "Tell my sister to get off her butt and help me prepare the food." Martha has tried to triangulate the relationship. She's tried to get Jesus on her side. It's quite a slap in the face when Jesus says to her, "No, I am not on your side." But Martha is not bristling. Why would she not bristle? Surely it is because she has the spiritual maturity to hear the correction and recognize that she is just projecting onto Jesus what she believes is important. The spiritually mature person realizes that we should not presume to recruit God in support of what we believe is important. Instead, we have to listen to God to hear what he believes is important. Remember, this is Saint Martha. I'm going to say more about her than I will say about Mary or Jesus, because Saint Martha is often misjudged. You may have heard this story before, and you may have written her off as a compulsive, over-attentive hostess from hell. But she's not. She is actually an extraordinary woman. She was a close friend of Jesus. She's one of the wealthy women who made his ministry possible. You see her truly spiritual character when her brother Lazarus dies. Jesus is on the way to console the sisters, and Martha goes out to meet him. She says to him, "If you'd been here, this would not have happened." And that's actually a sign of the depth of her faith. It's not an accusation. Jesus replies, "I am the resurrection." And she responds, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Not even Peter has understood that yet about Jesus. She is a woman who was at the forefront of faith. Martha stood at the foot of the cross. She was one of the women who went out to anoint Jesus' body on that first Easter morning. Tradition has it that after Jesus' resurrection, she traveled as a missionary to the south of France. She settled in Avignon. She rescued a village from a dragon. And she died in Tarascon, where you can still see her too. Look at Vermeer's portrait of Martha at her moment of correction, and you see her true measure. Like all the great saints, she is open to learn when she needs to amend her life. She doesn't take offense when Jesus corrects her, and nor should we. You've got this thing up on your internet this afternoon. Look at how Vermeer depicts Mary in her moment of affirmation. Clearly, she is the quieter of the two sisters. She's more retiring than Martha. But her eyes are focused on Jesus. Her posture shows her devotion, and it is her devotion that Jesus affirms. The good part that Jesus says Mary has chosen is complete attention to him, not distracted by worldly things whatsoever. But Vermeer makes no suggestion that Mary is gloating, as she might have been. And this is her spiritual maturity. Her chest doesn't swell when Jesus speaks well of her. She doesn't exhibit any spiritual pride. She doesn't subject Martha to any, "I'm holier than you." Instead, the look on her face suggests the attitude that Jesus commends in his parable of the servant who comes in from the master's field and expects no special treatment at all, but instead says simply, "We are unprofitable servants. We have merely done what it was our duty to do." Mary is able to be humble in the moment when she was proved to be right. Don't we find that challenging? Lastly, you have to look at Vermeer's Jesus. He's sitting in an upright chair with arms. He's in the center of the picture, one sister sitting at his feet and the other sister standing beside him. It is not an imperious or commanding or judging Jesus that Vermeer paints. He's sitting back in his chair. His muscles are relaxed. It's a portrait of an intimate scene between friends. St. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And certainly they loved him. This isn't a scene on a mountaintop. This isn't a scene in a temple or a church. This isn't God on a throne on a cloud. This is a scene in a family home. Vermeer has doubtless painted Jesus sitting in one of his chairs, in one of the rooms in his home. Jesus, a visitor to a home. There is an invitation in Vermeer's painting, and it is the invitation that Jesus himself extends to us. The invitation to dwell together with our Lord, to be at home with him. "I will come and sup with him, and he with me." The truth is that if a relationship that personal is established between us and our Lord, then it will be so much easier not to bristle or become defensive or resentful when our Lord corrects us. And so much easier to humbly accept his affirmation and encouragement in a way that does not lead us to become obnoxious to others, but instead to simply know in our own hearts that we're doing our duty. Amen.